chapter 1. And keeping your finger at James chapter 1, we have been looking at in Proverbs 14, verse 33, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Well, this, that which is in the midst of fools is made known, is, has in it a just spewing out of anything that is on the mind or on the heart. And we have been looking at in James chapter 1. But before I start there, I want to read you something by Mr. Bridges regarding the book of Proverbs that we have been studying. He says, let us observe the connection between inward principle and outward conduct. So, the connection between the inward principle and the outward conduct. Never let it be forgotten that the exercises here described or inculcated suppose an internal source. It is the light within that shines without. The hidden life is thus manifested. The fountain sendeth forth its wholesome waters. The good tree bringeth forth good fruit. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. These, therefore, are the manifestations, not the innate principles. They flow from the cultivation of the source within. Nothing permanent is produced by change of opinion, excitement of feeling, conviction of conscience, but by a new mold of the heart. The soft answer, chapter 15:1, is the outward exhibition of a softened and humble heart. The religion of sincere purposes, however promising, withers away, having no root in itself. The ways and fashions of the world, therefore, rule with a far mightier power than the dictates of God's word or the voice of conscience. The external apprehensions of the Christian system also are powerless without the internal principle. They exhibit a body of truth indeed, but a body without life, without any spring of influence or consolation. Religion, grounded in the heart, will regulate the outward conduct and put everything in its proper place and proportion. In other words, everything must flow from the heart. Everything must flow from within. It is not you changing your opinion about something that is going to be lasting, because it will not be lasting unless it is produced by a work in the heart. Very, very good. So, in James chapter 1, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man, this is verse 19, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So we are to be swift to hear, docile, teachable, and ready. We are to be slow to speak. We are not to be rash in our judgment or opinion concerning things of faith. And we are to be slow to wrath. We are not to become angry with someone just because they have a difference of opinion. But the chief aim here is the solemn hearing of God's Word. In being swift to hear, again, it is without reluctance, and it is with diligence, and to have any delay is a sign of unwillingness. And at the same time, it is not good to allow the devil an advantage of debate. When you pause from duty, Satan will work on your hesitancy. And we are to be told swift to hear. That is, swift to hear the Word of God. And if it were anything otherwise than that, it would be good for us to be slow of hearing. Be slow to speak. Make sure that you're on good ground before you speak. And there are many that are hasty to speak, but are slow to do. God Himself is slow to wrath. And to have a hasty spirit is to be most unlike God when we have a hasty spirit. And that brings us where we will pick up this morning. Matthew Henry says that we are required to restrain the workings of our passions, and that an angry and a hasty spirit is soon provoked to ill things by our affections, by errors, or by ill opinions, which work on our own vile and vain affections. But the renewing grace of God and the word of the gospel teach us to bring these things into subjection and to subdue them. So when we find ourselves in that situation of becoming angry, we are required to subdue those passions and to restrain them. And that whenever differences arise among Christians, each side should be willing to hear the other. But people are often stiff in their own opinion because they are not willing to hear what others have to say, especially if it is something against them. There is a very good reason given for suppressing anger. Verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Because the wrath of man would hinder us from attaining that righteousness and accomplishing our duty, which God requires in His Word. So when we become angry, and we become angry in sin, it keeps us from attaining what we ought to attain. And there's an emphasis here for the wrath of man. This is not a general reference, but it's specific. And Manton says, the wrath of man shows that under whatever disguise that it appears to take on, it is but human and fleshly. And there is nothing of God but much of man in it. So here's what you have. You have this anger that comes upon us, and we become angry, and we are ready to become wrathful. And it takes on a certain disguise. And we even fool ourselves with the disguise that it takes on, because we will justify whatever it is. but as Matin says, it's nothing more than human and fleshly. The wrath of man is often seen, and seems to be a just displeasure against some offense. So what happens, we will have an offense that comes upon us. So the wrath of man, or this angry spirit that we take on, it seems to be a displeasure against something that we justify and that is justifiable. When it is nothing more than revenge, and it will often carry, as Matin says, the face of zeal. In other words, we become very zealous about something when we become angry over something. Rage and distempered heats in controversies of religion and about the sense of the word. And Matin says that such carnal zeal, how just and pious soever it seems, is not approved and not acquitted as righteous before God. Matin narrows this down very much and gives us very little leeway in the area of being angry. Even when we become angry and we show so much zeal in our anger, and we even fool ourselves in thinking that it is right and that it is justifiable, and that which we are angry with is going to be acquitted, Matin says that is nothing more than carnal zeal, regardless how pious it may seem. Usually no affections are so outrageous as those which are engaged in the quarrel over religion. For then, that which should bridle the passion actually becomes the fuel of it. Instead of it being a bridle and holding us back, it actually fuels the fire. And that which should restrain undue heats, says Matin, it actually engages them. This should not be. Christianity, of all religions, is the meekest and most humble. It is founded upon the blood of Christ, who is what? The Lamb that is slain. It is sealed by the Spirit of Christ, who descended like a dove. Both are emblems of a meek and modest humility. So should a meek religion be defended, should our meek religion be defended by our violences, and the God of peace be served with wrathful affections? When the tongue is sharpened against tongue and the pen against pen, what followeth? Nothing but mutual animosities and hatreds, whereby we gain nothing of truth and lose much of love and goodness. And that is one reason when we were attacked here in this place by the pen, our pastor would not respond in like manner. He would not respond in like manner with the pen in answering those allegations that were made against us. And I can tell you that that was not what I wanted to do. But I'm thankful that we did not. I'm thankful for that wisdom that he had in not doing that. You cannot gratify Satan more than when you wrong the truth by an unseemly defense of it. When you wrong the truth by an unseemly defense of it. In other words, you're only going to gratify Satan, the devil, when you actually wrong the truth by trying to defend it in an incorrect way, especially if it is with a wrathful spirit. If you would do good, use right means. And as Manton says, the barking dog loses his prey. The person that is shouting the loudest is not going to be the victor. Those engaged most successfully that use the hardest arguments and the softest words. Whereas railings and revilings, as they are without love, so they are without profit. Verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Our anger is not to be trusted immediately. Our anger is not to be trusted. It is not as just and righteous as it seems to be. But we think it is. We think within ourselves that it is. So when you find that coming on, when you find that anger coming on, don't trust it. Of all of our passions that we have within us, this is the one that is most apt to be justified. It is the one that we will be most apt to justify within ourselves. Jonah 4. Jonah 4:9. Actually, let's read verse 8. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. See, Jonah justified himself. A self-justification. Yes, I do, Lord. I do well to be angry even if I have to die. We are going to be very apt to justify our anger. And anger is like a cloud. It blindeth the mind. It's like when you're driving, and you're driving, and you can be in just crystal, pristine clear. And in the morning, sometimes on the way to work, I'll find myself or myself in coming down Poway Roads. on Tuesdays early in the morning, and it can be crystal clear at the top. But by the time I'm halfway down that mountain, I'm just in a dense fog and can hardly see anything. So you can go from seeing everything just crystal clear to be totally blinded. This is the picture here of anger. It's like that cloud that blinds the mind. Anger is so bad and so powerful that it will get us so excited that it takes away the ability to act right. And don't you find that to be the case? It's so bad, it's so powerful, and it will get you so excited that you are just going to say everything and anything that comes to your mind. And it will destroy that ability to act and think aright. Manton says that it is like a mutiny, actually. That during a mutiny, that even the gravest person cannot be heard. And there is in it somewhat of a mist of darkness by which reason is clouded and is rather made a party to something than a judge of something, and doth not only excuse our anger, but it feeds it as being employed in representing the injury rather than bridling our irrational behavior. So where we should be bridling ourselves and being a judge over the situation, we find ourselves being a party to it. And he calls it irrational behavior. He says that when you are under the power of a passion, you have just cause to suspect all your apprehensions. You are apt to mistake others and to mistake your own spirit. Passion or anger is blind and cannot judge aright. It's furious and has no leisure to debate and to consider. So isn't that the case, that when we're under that power of a passion, that it is at that time that we need to suspect what is going on in our life and not be blinded by the anger? From that anger of man, verse 20, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. There is an emphasis here on the two words, man and God. Manton says that wrathful men are most unfit either to act grace or to receive grace. To act grace by drawing nigh to God in worship, for worship must carry proportion with the object of it, as the God that is a spirit will be served in spirit. So the God of peace with a peaceable mind. So to receive grace from God, angry men actually give place to Satan, and they grieve the spirit, and so are more fit to receive, instead of grace, to receive sin. When we become angry, it makes us unfit to speak properly, to speak the things of God properly, or to receive the things of God properly. Because we are out of control, and out of control to receive or to give out the things of God. And we actually open ourselves up to be more prone to receive nothing more than sin. And I think I'm going to stop there for this morning, and we'll continue this on this evening. And we will begin this evening with anger and passion is a sin which the people of God are many times surprised with. In other words, we are surprised into a fit of anger or sin. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, anger is something that each and every one of us, regardless of what our nature is, whether we have find ourselves to be, as it were, as the term, a good-natured individual, regardless how we are by nature, we are prone to anger. We are all prone to anger. There is not one that is not. So this message is very much for each and every one of us. When our propensity is to become angry, we pray, Lord, that we might be, as Manton said, most suspicious of those passions and the things that would come to our mind. We pray, Lord, that we might be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. We pray, Lord, that we might have a greater understanding of what these words mean by the end of this day. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.